I've been trying to visit some of our older members in our church, particularly those who are home and can't get out. So if you haven't gotten a visit from me, then maybe that means, you know, you're not old. If you have gotten a visit from me, well then, it was nice to have a visit with you. In Richmond, I do the same thing, go and visit some of our church members, particularly those who couldn't get out as much. And one day I was visiting with one of my favorite ladies, and she said, you know what, interrupted our conversation, she said, you know what, listen, would you fix my phone? And every time it calls, it does this, you know, crazy thing, and would you fix my phone? I said, sure, yeah, of course. So a couple minutes later, she was just thrilled, you know. It was like her whole day was, you know, on a brighter side of life. A couple weeks later, I was back visiting her, and as I walked in, she said, Jake, will you fix my TV? Okay. Fix my TV. And then rumor got out. Okay. It was like I was a pastor, a long lost grandson, and the IT department making house calls. And I want to tell you about one of my most favorite visits. Was a dear lady in our church was having heart trouble, unfortunately, and they had sent her home with this technology that is incredible, but to say the least, it was not a good pair. It was a patch that you would put on your heart and monitor your heart, and then it would wirelessly talk to your phone via Bluetooth. And she didn't have a smartphone, so they issued one to her. And she was very concerned about this working until she learned that the pastor was coming for a visit. And so I came, and sure enough, we spent the day working on her heart monitor. Now, you need to know a couple things. Her husband was there for everything we did together, and he was former law enforcement. But the heart is in your chest area. And to put a patch on properly, you need to take your clothes off. And she didn't feel comfortable putting her own patch on, so she asked me to do it for her the first time. And let's just say I put the patch on her heart. So her heart could be monitored. And her husband was present for everything that we did together. And she put her clothes on after I left. So we'll just leave it. We'll leave it at that. So the question is this: what spiritual gift was this? Is it possible that we have a limited understanding of what the spiritual gifts are? I'm mindful of the man in our church or the woman in our church who can build a home blindfolded, with one hand tied behind their back. And that person would never, ever lead a Bible study or say a prayer in public. But to build a home, that's a spiritual gift. I'm mindful of the artist or the photographer whose work speaks of the creativity of God. Is that a spiritual gift? I'm mindful of the oil field worker. Did I say it right? Oil field? Still learning. The oil field worker who can drill and therefore can help a community find water to drill and build a well. Are these spiritual gifts? One word I've come to hate is the word supernatural. I can remember in the 90s, particularly growing up in the church, this was a buzzword, a popular word, supernatural, the title of one of DC Talk's albums. Do you think something incredible, a miracle happens, and God God says, man, that was impressive. I wonder how that happened. I think everything is natural to God. There is no supernatural to God. It just is. Which presents us with one of two options. That every single thing is spiritual, or there is no spiritual at all. That everything is natural to God. In the Pauline literature that we read this morning and often in our church, charismata is the word often translated as spiritual gifts, charismata. As you well know, the root word here is charis, which is grace. And charismata is the origin where we get the word charismatic. And remember that the root of charismata is grace. This is incredible. To be charismatic is not to be gregarious or demonstrative, although that's fine. To be charismatic is to be grace. 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 The text that we read here in verse 7 says that these gifts are given for the common good. That the purpose of all giftedness is to bless and benefit the body, bless and benefit the community. Our gifts, our charismata, our grace is to be shared. That's good. Now, as you well know, charismata is not the word that we have in 1 Corinthians 12:1. Thank you for reminding me. And of course, you know that the word here in 1 Corinthians 12:1 is the word pneumatikon, the genitive plural for pneumatika. What does this matter? These two words are used interchangeably throughout Paul's letters, both being translated as spiritual gifts. There's a few things that it would be good for us to mention. There are several moments in the New Testament in which these spiritual gifts are listed. And most of these lists differ greatly. Some of them have some overlap. But most of the list of the spiritual gifts are described with the word charismata or described with the word pneumatika, and they differ greatly, which is incredible. At least, the text is suggesting at least that the gifts that we read of are illustrative and not exhaustive. Which opens up the whole thing. At least they're illustrative, and at least the text is celebrating diversity. At least the text is celebrating diversity. Now, one final comment about pneumatika, which in a very sanitized form can be translated things of the spiritual. Now, that's inspiring, isn't it? Here in the context, pneumatika is translated spiritual gifts, and that's a good translation. But at other moments in Scripture, this word is translated spiritual people. So even though we translate it here as spiritual gifts, there's still a personhood to the word. There's still a human liveliness to the spiritual gifts. I love the Message translation that says this. Instead of saying, now concerning the spiritual gifts, it says, now concerning the ways the divine gets worked into your life. Whoa. That the divine, like leaven, gets cooked into the bread. And like the leaven, the whole thing is resurrected. The whole thing, the whole person is raised up. Did you know that you could take a test on the internet for anything? I confess to you, about 8 years ago, we took a test. What kind of dog should we get? And it said you should get a golden doodle. And so we did. And we have regretted that day ever since. Golden doodle for sale. If you want one, we'll pay you to take it. Maybe you, like me, in high school took a test to tell you what college you should go to. Did you take this test? Maybe you, like me, took a test in college which career you should have. Anyone follow both of those things? Not many. You can take a test right now on the internet for anything. One of the tests that you can find is a spiritual gifts test. And although there is value in these, and I imagine that we'll be using these as a community in the future, that online inventory will tell you that there are 28 spiritual gifts. And I just wonder if we have a limited view of what the spiritual gifts are. Let me ask you this question. Can a test tell you who you are? No. And I'd like to offer a one question test to us all today. Are you a person? That was a test. Are you a person? Yes, of course you are. Yes, that was the right answer. No was the wrong answer to that test. You are all people. And the divine is getting worked into your life like leaven in bread. Here's the deal. You don't have a spiritual gift. Your life is a gift. So for a morning, let us pause and stop thinking about what is my spiritual gift. We're not taking that test today. Today we are reminded that your life is a gift. Light exists on an extremely wide spectrum. A majority of light we don't even see, X-rays, for example. The amount of light that we see is a very small a portion of the grander spectrum of light. And today we're not considering what is my perfect shade of light. Today we're reminded, be the light. Your life is the light. And there's a narrative in our culture that I would like for us to critique, at least for a moment. There's a narrative in our culture that if you love what you do, you will never work a day in your life, right? Have you heard this? Follow your passions. If you love your work, you'll never work a day in your life. And those of you who are in that setting, who would agree with that statement, God bless you, fantastic, thanks be to God. But most humans in the world right now, and most humans throughout history, have not had the freedom to freely choose what they do for a living. If you love what you do, you'll never work a day in your life, is a narrative told mostly by modern white men. What does any of this have to do with spiritual gifts? I'm glad you asked. On the night before Jesus gave his life for the sake of the world, he prayed to the Father, Father, if there is another way, if there is another way, that would be great. If not, I am willing. And I suggest Jesus's passion was not to die on a cross. It was not his giftedness. I don't believe that Jesus was passionate about this very difficult thing in front of him. Rather, I believe Jesus was willing. He was willing. So just for a morning, and maybe even for a year, let us put aside, what is my spiritual gift? I think that maybe these spiritual gifts are a little more fluid, a little more dynamic. And instead, let us ask, are we people? And can we live in such a way that is a gift to the community? Live in such a way that is a blessing to the other. A friend of mine worked at Virginia Commonwealth University in Richmond, downtown Richmond, a large school. And he worked mostly with international students. And he said some, not all, but many students would show up their freshman year with bags of gifts from their home. And that as they would arrive, their parents sent them with original, exotic, meaningful, personal gifts from their homeland. And this student, now living in Richmond, in theory, as they would go throughout their years in college, would already have gifts to give to friends as they meet people, would have gifts to give to families as they host them throughout their years, would already have these gifts with them. And my friend told the story of one student whose parents came 4 years later to graduation, and as they were packing up the student's room, found that most of the gifts had not been given to anyone. Philip Gulley, our forthcoming retreat leader, I read this week in his book, The Evolution of Faith, says that the way that God primarily moves, the way that God's mission primarily works, is not through thunder and lightning and divine inexplicable miracle. The way that God primarily moves is through people showing up in your life. The way that God primarily moves is through people. And maybe all we have to do is not be passionate about cross-cultural communication or missions to internationals. Maybe all we have to do is to be a friend and accept a gift that their family has already selected for us. Wow. Last little tidbit. Probably one of the biggest adjustments for me here in Lubbock is it is dark in the morning, very late. And we live so far on the western part of the time zone, and in the mornings I'm like, man, it's really dark. It's 7 o'clock. It's still dark. So sometimes in the mornings I'm out and about, and you need to know that there are many people in our neighborhood who still have Christmas lights on their house, okay? And I am going to give you their addresses right now so that you can send them a letter, all right? Maybe you're some of those people, and if so, that's okay. I guess, Alice and I always wanted to put up Christmas lights on our home. We haven't done it the entire time we've been married, okay? And we always wanted to be those kind of people, but maybe next year. It's not going to happen, okay? Maybe these people are busy, you know? And they don't have time to take down the Christmas lights. Maybe they forgot, you know? Maybe they leave when it's light and they come home and it's still light and they just don't see the Christmas lights in the morning. Maybe these people truly are passionate about Christmas and they either leave their lights up year-round or they put their Christmas lights up in January. That's a logical possibility, okay? I don't know really what the etiquette is, but in the mornings when it's dark and I'm going through the neighborhood, the light shines. Whether they're passionate about Christmas lights or not, the light shines. You don't have to be all that in a bag of potato chips. You don't have to be passionate about homelessness to show up and serve a meal on a Thursday. You don't have to be gifted in cross-cultural communication and speak five languages to be a friend to someone now living in our city from far away. You don't have to be all those things, but the light you must be. Let's pray. God, you are light. You are the light of the world. You are the light and the force and the energy by which all things are created and all things are seen. You are eternal. And you shine in the Christmas lights that never end. And you shine through these people here. Help them to see, particularly when it feels very dark. Help them to continue to shine. Use their gifts and their passions. Use their spiritual uniqueness. All the things that make them uniquely them. Each beautiful. And use them simply as a person, as a soul, as a body, as a spirit. Work your divinity into their bread, that they might feast on you and shine with you always. In the name of the light of the world, we pray. Amen.